Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
To infinity and beyond!
The Lord tells me he can get me out of this mess, but he's pretty sure you're fucked.
It's why you fail.
You can't handle the truth!
Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Say hello to my little friend!
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Say what again? Say what again? I dare you! I double dare you, motherfucker! Say what one more goddamn time!
What we've got here is... failure to communicate.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
He hit our son.
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode 105. Jeff Lowe, Trill Ballins, Ken Jack, coming to you for our first December episode of the year, last month of 2018. It's happy holidays. Also, happy Hanukkah.
I didn't even know Hanukkah started tonight. And I sometimes forget when Christmas is, too. It's all a big blur.
Gonna be honest.
Christmas is?
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
It's the same date every year, my friend.
I know, that's the joke of me being, like, equal opportunity, not knowing holidays.
Oh,
well,
Thank you for making it, though. I appreciate it.
I knew Hanukkah was today because it's trending on Twitter. So,
oh.
That's about it.
What else enabled, is trending on Twitter today?
Enabled the hashtag. Oprah was trending, so I just naturally assumed she died. But she's not dead. She's alive.
Is it a presidential, like, another president comment or something like that? Where she's...
No, I don't think so.
The Jets are tweeting on, or trending on Twitter. No one tell Pete Carroll, though.
I got that one.
There you go.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like going down that road for that. Good joke, though. It's a good, good reference. What's going on? Anything other than that?
I'm just anxious for the Chargers to play. I don't know about you guys. Your Browns got a nice whooping today.
They did. Just ends that one, which is fine. No real expectations there. Baker played well in the first second half. Hi, I hyped up the Colts all week in my power rankings. That came back to bite me today.
Can't trust the Colts. Said it here on the podcast. I think that roster is real weak right now. Can't trust them week to week. That game was boring.
6-0.
Two field goals, only scores. Jeez, what a...
My comment made it sound surprised. Like I was like, wow, I didn't even see that. How did I not see that? It's because it was 6-0. It's like you don't see highlights on the internet. So
No. I finished the main campaign of Red Dead 2 last night. Stayed up till 3 a.m. doing it because the wife and baby were out of town visiting Derek. And I got to say, that game's pretty good. But also at the same time, I tried the online mode, and the online mode, I don't like at all. I don't like it, friends.
I'm just bad at it. I think that's the problem. Like all the people that play it right now are all like the rock star pros that know how to work their shooting system, and I'm not there yet, so I just suck.
Well, I got in the world, and I shot a deer, and I was skinning the deer, and somebody came by and just headshotted me with a shotgun.
Immediately,
and then that person just... eclipsed the area or circled the area, killed me two or three more times, and I turned it off. I'm like, I'm not doing this.
That's what happened to me on a stream.
So I don't play games online unless it's Fortnite with my buddies.
Which we did play on a live stream last Thursday?
Thursday, yeah, it was Thursday night.
And we won our final game.
Yeah.
Dominated.
That was pretty good. That was fun. I don't know if it'll get me back into Fortnite per se, but it makes you like the game a little more when you win.
I mean, you played pretty well, so it should get you. We should play, but you're really entrenched in Red Dead right now. So
I think I'm done with it. I don't know if I'm going to play the epilogues.
It's not that great.
I think I might just watch the cinematics on YouTube and get the experience that way.
It's very satisfying, I would say, but also like as far as the ending of it, but it just takes so long to get there. I don't know if I would say that middle part is worth it unless you're really into the story.
Yeah, hard to talk about anymore without spoiling it, but I'm just like, I got to a point where I'm like, well, I probably put like 70 hours in this game in the last month, and I'm kind of bored, so I might take a few weeks off, and then when I do play a game again, it might be Hitman 2.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Anything else? Watch anything? You guys are watching Superstore, I know. I watched a movie on Netflix called Christmas Calendar. It was fucking terrible.
It's Holiday Calendar.
Holiday calendar? Yeah, no, it's Christmas Calendar, buddy.
It was the Holiday Calendar.
Really?
Yeah. The one with like the Advent thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the Holiday Calendar.
All right. Stan corrected. It was Holiday Calendar. Netflix.
Got him.
Non-denomination. Though, but the calendar is 100% a Christmas calendar in the movie. Regardless, terrible.
Stunk.
And the toughest part about it is that they go one by one for the first like 8 days. So you're like, oh, they're going to skip over a couple. And then you're on day 8. You're like, holy shit, how long is this fucking movie?
Yep.
It stunk. But yeah, Superstore. You guys started watching that.
I know. Before we get off Christmas, I started Christmas Chronicles this morning and got 45 minutes into it. And that's a DNF for me, my friend.
Oh, no.
I got to the part. I don't even remember. Like, I did one of those things where I was watching it, and I remember seeing the part where he drops the fake news comment, and they're in Chicago, and I don't really remember what happened after that, because I kind of just turned to my side and did one of those, like, zone-out sleeps. Because, like I mentioned, like, the wife and kid are gone, and I miss them very much. But also, like, having a full bed, full king-size rules.
Ooh, king-size.
I got to have a king-size bed when you share a bed with somebody. It's probably, aside from financial issues, not having a king size bed is probably the number two cause of marital issues. Mm-hmm. Don't quote me on that one.
What about California king?
I don't know. I've never had experience on a California king. It sounds like it'd be bigger overall, but isn't it a little bit smaller in terms of width, but longer?
I thought it was it was wider, but not as long. I thought that was the...
No, I thought it was just longer and a little less wide.
You ever see Dion Waiters' bed?
No.
The basketball player? He has a 10-foot wide bed.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's so cool looking.
That rules.
Shaq had a Superman bed, I remember from the show Cribs, and it would like spin around.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Nothing weird about that.
No, not at all.
But it's Shaq. He gets a pass. He can have a Superman bed.
He can do whatever the fuck he wants. What else? Anything else before we get in the news here?
Kendrick, what would happen if you like matched someone on Tinder and you went back to their place and they had Shaq's Superman bed? Like they bought it from Shaq and it was just in their 600 square foot New York walk up.
I don't know if that would fit in any walk up apartment. And anything that is in the affordability range of a walk up probably can't fit Shaq's bed.
The whole apartment, the whole floor of the apartment is just a bed.
Even like the living room space. I'm not sure if any of them would be able to fit that. But that'd be very impressed. By the dedication to Shaq.
And also, I feel like you're in luck and you should probably lock that person down and marry her, because if she afforded Shaq's bed, she's probably got some money. You just walked Shaq. In. Yeah. I mean, he just gives away fucking Superman beds. That's like his Hey Jeets thing.
Exactly.
He has a delivery truck driver drive the person home. And he's like, I got an extra bed in the back. Shaq wants you to have it. Oh, geez. Thanks, Shaq.
She talks like a small newspaper person, apparently, from the early 1900s.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to transition into Misa Jar-Jar Binks again there.
No.
There's actually...
But I watched the Star Wars gangster rap, too, after you dropped some of the lines from it. Not as good as the original, but still some funny lines in there.
Misa, wanna fuck your wife. That's a good one.
Yeah.
We actually have a Jar Jar Binks... joke later on. We're doing Christmas movie pitches. It's very subtle, but I got a kick out of it. All right, I guess we should roll into news, right?
Let's do it. Kings.
Big week for movie trailers. These are unconfirmed rumors. Well, this is the first one confirmed. Godzilla King of the Monsters. Still a terrible title. Just call it Godzilla King of Monsters, right? I'm not the minority here, right? It's a bad title. Well,
does the monsters refer to a specific grouping of monsters? Like, is it just within the cohort of Mothra and Mechagodzilla? Because I understand that. But if he's king of all monsters, then it doesn't seem correct to me.
I guess I don't know on that one.
Seems like they're underselling Godzilla by just putting the in there.
Just it's clunky. Anyway, trailer this week. The first trailer was awesome. Everyone loved that trailer. It was very surprising. But also the big one, Marvel's going to have a huge week. Unconfirmed rumors, but the rumor is tomorrow during halftime of Monday Night Football, the Captain Marvel trailer is going to debut. And then later in the week on Wednesday morning, the Avengers 4 trailer will debut. That is completely unconfirmed. People who are in the know in the comic book movie world have said so. I don't know for sure, but from what I do know, I'm kind of led to believe it might happen, but I do not know for sure. And I don't think these people know exactly for sure, but they're really hedging and they're saying it's going to happen. So those two trailers this week, I think that's kind of strange that they're going to have a Captain Marvel and Avengers trailer in the same week. And I feel like the Captain Marvel trailer just came out, right? Like the first one just released. Why not wait until January? Because Captain Marvel's out in March. I think that's a little odd.
They're releasing the Avengers 4 trailer on MNF, but what is it's going to have a silhouette of Booger McFarlane on his crane chair, like Mystery Science Theater.
Ooh, you get Booger comments on the game.
Yeah.
Or on the trailer.
Yeah. Folks.
Yeah, I don't quite know what they're going to do. I mean, obviously Captain Marvel is like Black Panther last year was promoed before Avengers. I don't think that one was as weird because this one, you had the tease from the last Avengers of her at the end, and then everyone's dead for the most part, too. It's kind of strange how they're going to juggle that. I mean, do you favor, you want to see one over the other? I'm assuming you're going to say Avengers. That's the one you're more excited for.
Yeah, it got to be Avengers, right? That's the bell cow of the Marvel franchise.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I feel like they could go without a trailer ever. Like, that's the thing. Like, there's some poopy fans on the internet like, to release it, it's a disservice to your fans. Don't you want them to see the movie? Let's be real. If you're complaining about the trailer not being released, you're going to see it even if there never is a trailer. Like that's yeah.
The issue with Avengers is that not enough people knows that it exists.
Yeah.
They're going to forget all about that cliffhanger ending if they don't release a trailer in the next 24 hours. Russo? Sirs,
I bet there wouldn't be that much of a drop. Like, I wonder what the money drop off would be if they never released a trailer or they only promoted it like the week before.
Like, well, you know how like they don't do any advertising for Ivy League schools because like people know what they are and they know their reputation. Like they could be in that category. Like I'm not sure how much their money line would or their money lines would drop after that. Because, like, again, it's just there's so much recognition. They are the name in movies right now as far as popular movies go. So I don't know if they necessarily need it, but I do love it. And it does help build the hype machine as far as the internet goes.
I think if I were the marketing guy in charge of it, I would only promo it through Pepsi cans.
Ooh.
That's smart.
On TikTok.
Ooh, TikToks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How has the TikTok business been going, Ken Jack? Because you were the king of TikTok for a weekend.
It's going good. Did you see the TikToks I posted yesterday?
No, I don't watch the TikToks unless you send them to me. But I like it when you send them to me.
I'll send you a thread later. We should just do that. It's our newest bad radio segment. Trill listens or watches the TikToks I sent him. But there's a lot of basically right now, the way it exists is 75% of the people on it are Android users that are very old, like 40 plus, I'd say. And that's like the lowest age, usually that or they're teenagers. And there's no real in between. And there's some cops and troops doing thirst traps. And that's about it. That's the existence of TikTok right now. So it's basically Facebook, except like video formatted. It's a really weird place.
What are these baby boomers doing on TikTok? Like, what's their content? What's the gist of what they're trying to do on there?
So the general way TikTok works is you can like post your own content, like your own video, but you can't choose who duets with you. Like if you post a video right now, I could make a duet on your video. You wouldn't have a choice in the matter unless you had all duets disabled. So basically like children, like teenagers and stuff will post their own videos and then like creepy old men will duet them and make themselves like the object of whatever the video is. So like a kid will make like a TikTok with like them doing a lip sync of like a love song or something. And then a creepy old man will duet with them like, hey, I'm the object of your affection in this TikTok now. And it's very creepy place.
I'm going to put this out here as a dad. This sounds bad.
It is. It's very bad. They need to put an age limit on it, or like a Turing test, to see if they're actually an old person. Like, do you hate Nike? Yes or no? Like, and then
do you own an Eagles album?
Yes, exactly.
The app is very funny, but yes, it's very concerning. Like, I watch it and the red alarms go off in my head every time I see a TikTok. Like, just something's off on each one. Well, yours are different because they're like ironic, but some of the olds you send us singing, it is very concerning.
I'm going to send you a thread, Troll, and just see what you have to say about it. You don't have to watch it now.
I'll watch it after the podcast.
I mean, the thumbnail alone is just, oh my God.
You know what the best internet video of all time still is, though?
What?
I won't give up. Nah, nah, nah.
Yeah. That's Musical.ly too. That wasn't even a Vine. That was Musical.ly, which is the predecessor to TikTok.
See? Blazing trails.
He walked so these creepy old men could run.
Yep. And boy, are they running. All right. So yeah, Godzilla, Captain Marvel, Avengers 4 this week. We'll have plenty to say. I do hope the Avengers one does come out Wednesday. I don't want it to come out tomorrow because then we can't talk about it for 2 days. That always kind of sucks.
How much do you think they'll reveal without going too much in what we think the plot's going to be? Because I don't know. I don't know how we talk about this without getting into the theories of like what's going to happen.
They really have to just set up the plot. Like what's the smallest way to say the main plot point? Are they traveling back in time? They have to reveal just a little bit just to tease, but I hope we don't see much at all. I mean, the last trailer was a major misdirection. Like, they had those fake scenes in it and shit. So I just hope they don't show too much. But I think they got to show just a little bit. But honestly, I don't care if there's only one trailer for this movie. Just wet my whistle a little bit so I know what I'm looking for. Like, I have new visuals in my head. And then I don't need to see anything else.
Captain America goes back in time and gives Jerry an iPad.
Jerry.
If you could give somebody an iPad, would you give them the latest and greatest iPad, or would you give them just a cheap iPad? Because it would still blow their mind equally. Yeah. That's a stupid hypothetical. That's a hypothetical with real no interest.
I mean, you just give them the new one.
Yeah, but those are so expensive. Those are like $1,000. Well, if I could just go like on eBay and get a cracked, like even a cracked iPad, they'd be like, oh, it's still pretty cool. It's cracked. But it's
I'm pretty cool. Sure if you have the means to time travel, you have the means to buy an iPad.
You give them like they like turn it over and like, oh, what's this engraving? And it's like Christmas 2012 from Carol.
Who engraved it? Jesus.
I must find Carol.
All right. Yeah, Balloon Jerry shirts are going on sale this week, by the way. Oh,
God. I can't wait to see the numbers on those. I hope they do well. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, that is a very competitive online store in terms of what people like. And our brand of comedy, while I wouldn't say it's very specific because we're not that like highbrow, but at the same time, it's just like, it doesn't also make for a great shirt all the time.
No, it's not great at all, but
because you wear it out and people would be like, Balloon Jerry, that's the guy from Up. And then you'd be there and they'd have to explain it. Actually, I sound like I'm not selling the shirt very well. Just get a Balloon Jerry shirt. Wear it underneath a cardigan.
People did say that about like, I don't want to buy a Smokin' shirt back when we used to sell those because they're like, I don't want to have to explain it to people. I'm like, well, then just don't. You're like, what's that shirt mean? Like, oh, it's just like it's just an internet joke. And then you just move on.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to explain myself to other people either. So
it's December and you did promise a Smokin' tweet by the end of the year.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, it's coming up. I was coming back with a vengeance. I promise you that.
Can you tease any details? Any like a Smokin' trailer that you can give us right now? Any preliminary thoughts?
Yeah. You know, it's probably just going to be a very traditional Smokin' tweet out of nowhere.
No gimmicks.
No gimmicks. Just peanut butter and jelly on white bread. Smokin' tweet.
That's the best way to do it.
Still huge.
What's that?
Yeah. It's still huge. That's going to be big. I think that gets at very least, I'll say 10K faves. That's my estimate.
Maybe. I don't know, man. I need to go back and look at the old Smokin' tweets to see what the numbers were.
just to give yourself like a little practice too? Did you just type out the word smocking on your notes app multiple times?
Yeah. Well, if I wanted to do it, if I wanted to get the most faves, I feel like I would do it during the like college football championship or not the championship, cause that's after New Year's, but the, like on the 29th, but I don't, now I don't want to do it cause everybody's on Twitter during big events. So I feel I feel like I could juice the numbers by doing a big event. But also I think like just it'd be funnier if it was like 2 a.m. on a Friday morning, something like that.
During the premier NBA game on Christmas, people wouldn't hate that.
During God Friended Me mid-series finale or mid-season finale.
Then everyone would miss your tweet, so I wouldn't do that.
That's true. No one's on their phone during that.
I need those imaginary validation points, my friends.
All right, here's an actual trailer that was released. Happy Death Day to you.
Loved it.
The trailer finally came out. It was in theaters. Only Kenjack had seen it up until the other day because I was late. Trill wasn't able to see it in theaters either. Kenjack saw it, warned us that it was much of the same. Not that I didn't believe you. I was a little skeptical because you are a Happy Death Day truther, big hater, but you were spot on. It's virtually the same exact thing.
I loved it, though.
I didn't mind it. The killer is just going after multiple people now. That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, but it was funnier. Like I found it very clever and tongue-in-cheek, like maybe even more so than the first one. Like they're really not taking in too serious of a direction.
I like this one, and I agree with you, but I think there is a better than 50% chance this movie's a complete fucking turd.
Maybe you're probably right. I want to like it. I will say that. How ridiculous is it though that Inda Club was in the first trailer, and then apparently they couldn't get rights for that song in the actual movie. It didn't appear in the movie, and then they used it again in the second trailer as a ringtone.
Maybe they got rights because the first one was so widely loved.
Maybe, but like also, the joke only plays if you know the trailers.
Yeah, that's true. Ken Jack, can we get some Told You So thoughts?
I didn't think you guys are going to disagree with me. It is just the same thing in this like very slightly different spin on it. Like not even really a different spin. It's the same concept. I don't know. Not interested at all. Huge pass. Thank you next, as our good friend of the podcast, Ariana Grande, would say.
I like how I thought the trailer when it started off was going to go about the guy's roommate, who I was like, well, this guy had, what, 30 seconds of screen time in the first one? This is wildly uninteresting. But then apparently it's all three of them or more people. So maybe there's a new twist, but I got a feeling it's going to be bad.
Have I mentioned on the podcast yet that Ariana Grande fan base is another one I'm terrified of?
100%.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, that. I watched that video the other day. Really not that great of a music video.
I thought the video was better than the song.
I don't know. It was you think it would have appealed to me because it was a nostalgia dump of a bunch of you think I would be like totally into it. But at the same time, I was like, this has nothing to do with the song, which that's a really weak complaint for a music video. I don't know. I don't doubt we have a lot of Ariana Grande stans. Like, you know, people have their avatars Ariana Grande and their handles like Ariana fan in Brazil, and they have like 73,000 followers.
You know how people always say that, like that's the constant reply to every like musician. It's XYZ come to Brazil because Brazil has a giant music community.
Yeah,
I actually tolerate that more than when people are at like South by Southwest or E3 and they put like it'd be like Kenjack and then @E3, like they have to signify they're like at an Apple event or something so people know they're important and credentialed. I don't like that.
You know what music video had a lot to do with had a ton to do with the song that it was about was, do you ever see the music video for I Believe in a Thing Called Love?
No, I don't think I have.
Oh, never mind, this joke is over then. Continue.
No, all right, let's pretend like I have seen it.
It's like them on a spaceship and a giant space octopus is attacking them. Like, it's a really cool music video, and I like the song a lot. It's one of my favorite songs, but it just has nothing to do with it.
No, I think you're right. I think saying a music video has nothing to do with a song is a really bad criticism of a music video, because some of the better music videos probably don't have anything to do with a song. Maybe I'm just a literal person where I want a Michael Jackson Thriller. It's a song about zombies, mm-hmm. and the music video is about zombies.
Yeah. I am surprised you didn't love it, though, because it is nostalgia porn. 100%. Like, and that comes from somebody like myself who watched 2 hours of 90s commercial compilations on YouTube this weekend, right in a row. Just 90s commercials.
I didn't think it was a bad music video. I just didn't love it. And I will take that any day over the Katy Perry Swish Swish type music video, which is just a bunch of current references. Because at least Ariana's video is going to age so much better.
That's not even a question.
That was the worst thing I think I've watched. Like, I've never felt so viscerally uncomfortable watching a video.
The best was when they Nicki Minaj's verse on that. Like, she was obviously green screened into the video, or like it cut away to her something different. She's like, I'm not involved in this shit.
LeBron James biopic is in the works. Kind of weird. I don't know. This is strange. I don't know how they're going to tackle these movies about LeBron James, because there's probably going to be more than one made at some point, because he's an actor. And I mean, I guess there's biopics made about famous actors, I guess. Like, I don't know. I guess, but like, it's typically long after they're gone or like many years later. This is strange. It's based on a younger book, so it's going to be a younger LeBron, I believe. But still, this is strange. How do you tackle this? Like, I don't know how they make this work, because it's weird to have him, but it's also weird to not have him in my eyes.
I feel like you got to do something like 8 Mile, which, like, in 8 Mile, if Eminem actually played Eminem, it would have been a lot more weird, but he played a character who is basically Eminem, but wasn't Eminem. So it kind of told his story, but they could take creative liberties on it. So maybe you just have somebody who's supposed to be LeBron James, but isn't exactly LeBron James.
And you can have Michael Shannon play his dad in that too. I totally forgot that was his dad in, 8 Mile.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know, like, you know, I think a younger LeBron biopic would actually be pretty good. I think that, like, his story of his childhood is probably something that could be inspirational. But also at the same time, like, I had a problem with The Social Network, right? Because, like, if we go back and say, like, The Social Network did not tell the full story of Mark Zuckerberg at all. Like, what's going on now with, like, what Facebook's going through is, like, way more, like, at least equally as interesting as what The Social Network told.
For sure.
So it's like, the story's not done. So, yeah, you're right. There'll probably be multiple movies, because LeBron probably still has more to go. But it's like, it's not something I'm, like, inherently opposed to. I think it could be good. It's just weird when you hear a biopic about somebody who's still, like, extremely active in what they're doing. And, like, pretty much LeBron's maybe he's still in his prime, but at the tail end of it.
Yeah. I just, again, I don't understand how they make this work where it's not weird. It's Hollywood. I'm sure they'll find a way, to be honest. I'm sure I'm wrong. But again, it's just, I don't know. Again, it's just strange to me because of the position where LeBron is becoming more of a force in Hollywood. And now you think of him, you think movies. Space Jam will come out probably before this movie comes out. You had Trainwreck. So it just seems kind of strange.
What actors do you think will be in this movie?
LeBron playing himself as a child.
<It's> like, hey, little Bron, he's like an elementary school kid. It's just LeBron sitting at a small desk.
LeBron, what's 2 plus 2? Oh, the land, man. I fight for the land. The land.
LeBron, come do your book report. What did you do it on? I did it on the Godfather novel.
That would actually be really funny. They have to include that in his childhood story.
That would be funny.
Dan Gilbert would be played by
James Corden.
Like a CGI talking jar of mayo.
No, who's the Australian actor we always talk about? Like, he was in Rogue One. Ben Mendelsohn.
Ben Mendelsohn?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah, Dan Gilbert would be like the most evil fucking character actor, Ben Mendelsohn.
Imagine him saying Comic Sans with like his voice.
I feel like you could do it. Could you? I don't want to put you on the spot for an impression, but you have a decent Mendo.
So Dan Gilbert, how font do you want this giant weird memo to be in? Comic Sans, of course.
He does sound like an Australian Daffy Duck. You're right. That was good. By the way,
especially his character in Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, speaking of Ben Mendelsohn, we are reviewing this week Widows, but more importantly, way more importantly, Tech Fleece Robin Hood. Ken Jack and I dropped a review on BarstoolSports.com. You can read it. Trill, I did credit you because I did make the Tech Fleece joke. Don't worry. Wouldn't steal your thunder on that one. It was bad. I gave it a 26. Ken Jack gave it a 42. Audience gave it a 21. It's an absurdly strange movie, to say the least. And I'm very excited to talk about it. And Ben Mendelsohn is in it playing the same guy he always plays. Same character every time. And that's not his fault. Like, can somebody write him a more interesting fucking script? Or can his agent get him a better job?
He also, he's going to play the bad guy, I believe, in Captain Marvel, or at least one of them. Like, he needs to have differentiation in the bad guys, because like, there's only so many different ways you can portray someone that's evil. And now he's kind of getting stuck in this part where it's like, okay, well, this bad guy was like this bad guy. And like, but there's only so many ways you can do that, you know? So he's in a jam right now.
And he's a... sorry, say it again.
In Bloodline, I loved that form of bad guy.
He's going to be a Skrull, so he's going to be an alien in Captain Marvel. So imagine that voice, same voice, no change, just in an alien costume. Like, that's just weird.
It's just like slightly auto-tuned.
I'm an alien.
I'm alien, Ben Mendelsohn.
That extra got to do it. That extra H in his name makes his last name so much more badass, though. I got it. Right? Like the H does it.
Yep. All right, first ad read. Guess what, guys? Hey, Trill, did you know this, Ken Jack? Did you hear? You guys hear about this, Ken Jack? Mm. CBD is now a $1 billion industry. But what the hell is it? I'm reading right from the copy. Well, the folks over at My Natural CBD have answers for you. CBD is a natural remedy for chronic pain, arthritis, stress, anxiety, and PTSD. It offers all these benefits while also being legal in all 50 states. My Natural CBD has a non-GMO formula. This sounds like I made it. Anyway, and is 100% natural with no synthetic chemicals or stimulants. The best part about My Natural CBD products, they're grown and processed in America. Isn't that right, Yoda?
Legal on Dagobah. Yoda.
My Natural CBD oil is discreet and easy to use, too. Add it to everyday meals such as salads, smoothies, baked goods, coffee, and much more. My Natural CBD is now offering a 10% discount for Barstool Sports with code SPORTS. Sports.
If Luke gave Yoda some CBD when he was dying, Yoda wouldn't have died.
True.
100%, because he would have been calm and relaxed.
Specifically, My Natural CBD. Yoda, you must use promo code SPORTS.
Master Yoda, I have some oil for you.
Put it under my tongue, I will. Mix it with my coffee, I shall.
Go to mynaturalcbd.com to get your first bottle today. Get 10% off. Use the promo code SPORTS.
What if instead of blue milk on Tatooine, it was CBD oil?
There's a concept. Luke, sit down and drink your blue milk.
I'm really excited to see what it tastes, because they're you bringing it to the Disney park, the Star CBD Wars land.
Oh.
Yeah, CBD oil, yeah.
As much as high as kids.
Natural way to relax.
They're going to have blue milk, because they have the butter beer at the Harry Potter land, and apparently it's like just sucking down sugar, just sweet as can be.
I bet the blue milk is like blue horchata.
Ooh. That sounds delicious, actually.
Well, yeah, because horchata is delicious and it's just blue.
Now, keep in mind, like, taking out like money, how much it costs, travel, just the hypothetical of you're there. The Star Wars hotel, like, it's an experience. Like, you don't just go there and sleep in your hotel. Like, you're like immersed in a theme. Like, how do you feel if, like, you get the door knock and it's, like, room service and it's just an Admiral Ackbar? Like, are you in or out on that? Like, free hotel stay, free everything. Is that too much?
I don't think it would be Admiral Ackbar. It would be some high school kid in, like, an Imperial Guard uniform or, like, officer, right? But like, what if you clog your toilet? Do they say,
is that the line you're going for? I just stomp on
yes.
you.
Yes, you did. yeah, it'll ruin your immersion as soon as they ask you to put an extra credit card on file. It's like, I thought this was space.
What are you giving us for dinner today, Admiral Akbar?
It's a wrap.
What are the rums we got?
It is different. You're that's a good point though, Trill. Like that must take you out of the experience a little bit. Like when like the front desk person, it is like, I don't know, it's like a gun get or something. You're like, oh, this is kind of cool. But then they ask you like, oh, sir, we don't accept American Express. Like that kind of does take you out of it, I feel.
Can you put an additional credit card on file for collateral?
No extra towels we do not have.
Just like, what are some of like hotel things that would just like the room service would like knock on your door and you like go out there and it'd just be somebody dressed in a stupid robot costume as a droid?
Basically, that's like what it's going to be.
Are they really doing it that immersively?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it's going to be, and like also the way they're doing it is apparently the front, and I might be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure this is what I gathered. The front entrance is going to be like encased kind of like in like the fake woods. So when you go in, like you can't really tell you're walking into a hotel. So like when you get in, like you're boarding a ship, you're boarding a spaceship.
That's neat. Oh, you've been to Disney recently, right?
Yeah.
Do their TV like on demand systems have adult content on them?
Oh, I haven't stayed in Disney in a while. I'm staying for the first time in Disney in December.
I wonder if they're like,
I'll check.
What if they have adult content on them, but it's all Star Wars theme at this experience?
It's just those dancers from Jabba's palace.
Oh, just Yoda doing ASMR videos.
Didn't we say we were going to do that? Did we say we were going to do that? Where did we say we were going to do it? I think we did say Yoda ASMRs. I don't know. Might have made that up.
It's tough to do his voice while you're like whispering. You kind of have to yell a little bit.
It's like Chewbacca ASMR.
Nick Nolte. Also, God, your waiters are going to be like aliens and shit. See, that's just strange.
I don't feel like there'll be alien costumes. I just feel like the whole service staff will just be like regular people wearing Imperial or Rebel like uniforms. You know what I'm saying? With ranks on them.
Let me pull up the pictures quick. I'm pretty confident, like,
because they don't make like at the other themed hotels, they don't have like them wearing Mickey costumes and shit.
Excuse me, waiter. The Nemodian staff stole my luggage. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. How much you have to tip Newt Gunray?
Does this hotel have dry cleaning? Because I shit my pants.
You walk in and like fucking Admiral Akbar's like clapping your wife's cheeks.
The toilet's actually C-3PO. Just in a sitting down position.
Oh yes, golden shower, please.
Oh my. R2-D2 would be a better toilet.
You would be.
he's one of those Japanese toilets that have 100 different functions on it.
Yes. Oh my god.
Also, it's a hotel with like no windows, I believe, either. It's all simulated to be out in space.
R2's.
We have to vent the room. Someone poured.
R2's in the toilet and it's interactive, but C-3PO is also in the room. So it's like beep boop beep boop boop. Oh, R2 wishes you would flush.
R2 said, "You ate too much asparagus at dinner, ma'am."
R2 has detected a condom.
R2 has asked, "Do you jerk off in the bathroom on your own home?"
You're not seeing the toiletries. All right. Go ahead, Jeff.
You ever have sex in a hotel shower?
I'm not going to answer this question on the podcast.
I know. Next one. Let's go.
Okay. Nick Nolte. Speaking of Star Wars, Nick Nolte added to the Star Wars TV show. That's fucking weird, right?
I think he's a good Star Wars guy. He's a perfect.
It's cool.
A perfect voice for it. I think it depends on what type of character he is.
Oh, this is my one news item a week where I get to say I don't give a shit.
You have to say it in a Nick Nolte voice then.
I don't give a shit. I don't know. That's a Harrison Ford voice, but it works. That's
terrible.
I don't give a shit.
They invite Harrison Ford to the hotel for its grand opening.
Oh, no. No.
Crazy how he was busy.
He got an entire room for his earrings.
I'm surprised he didn't wear an earring in Force Awakens. He was like, sir, can you take out the earring? Sir, can you take out the earring? No.
This is one stipulation.
It's the Corellian badge of peace, actually. It's not an earring.
Instead of a wedding ring, when he got married to Leia, he had the earring. He got a diamond stud.
I just got this put in. You can't take it out for a week. It's like, sir, you got that like 50 years ago. You didn't just get that pierced. I mean, that's... There's many things surprised you didn't do with that movie. His stipulations were crazy. Not that he was a diva. He was just like, I really don't want to fucking be here right now. Please kill my character. I wonder if he would have got up and walked out on the first table read if they didn't kill him. Just been like, nope.
Was it that one picture where everybody was at that table read? Remember, it's like a sepia tone one, that classic photo we all know and love.
Yep.
Oh, let me fast forward to the end. Oh, I die. Okay, I'm good.
All right, here we go. Trill, last news item. Do you care more about this than the Star Wars one? Rupert Grint is going to be in an M. Night Shyamalan TV show.
Is that the one that's already out?
It's on Apple. It's going to be on Apple streaming.
Oh, he's in a movie, a Netflix movie that or something that came out very recently.
What's he been up to in the years? Let's take a look. When did Harry Potter conclude? 2013, 14?
Do you think you can see him as anything but Ron? I can't.
I mean, I have the same issue with Daniel Radcliffe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't have it with Emma Watson for whatever reason. But
he was in. I don't either for that. But Daniel Radcliffe was in Now You See Me Too, and it was completely at that part almost took me out of the movie. And then the movie being a pile of shit took me out of it. But
I think because they have two very, very distinctive looks that are so associated with the character, like
yeah.
I like Dan Radcliffe looks like the drawing of Harry Potter in the books, which is wild. And then Rupert Grint is, very, very distinctive redhead. And then, I don't know.
I think maybe kind of the difference there is that Hermione's character looked very distinctive as Hermione, but like Emma Watson herself looks different than Hermione, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense.
So what's his name? Rupert Grint was in Snatch. Which is a TV show. I'm not making a sex joke. Like, it's an actual show. That's the one on Netflix I was referencing.
But he hasn't been in, like, a feature, like, a blockbuster, like, even well-known movie since Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows. So it's been 7 years.
I feel like he'd be one of those dudes who'd turn up 7 years later and just be completely yoked.
Jonathan Lipnicki.
Oh, is he yoked?
Oh, yeah, dude. Have you not seen him?
I think we've talked about this before, which this is such a hell portal to Stuart Little discussion that like
well the funny thing is that all came up the last time we did movie pitches, so that's just weird that you really? Mentioned that because we're about to do them. Actually, I got an ad read.
I'm just gonna send this to Trill, but before any new listeners who haven't known this, we tweeted out this picture once and then somebody tagged Jonathan Lipnicki in it, and Jonathan Lipnicki was like, oh, this picture was actually like 5 years ago. I'm much stronger now. And then our listener responded to him and said, did they ever let you drive the car? And I think it made me, I think it made me shit my pants laughing.
This is to use a cliche, time is a flat circle type moment for us here.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. This episode brought to you in part by Felix Gray. Did you know average Americans blast their eyes with bright screens for 11 hours a day? That seems almost low. Felix Gray is a blue light glasses company, high energy blue light, and eliminates the glare coming off those screens. They filter out 90% of all of that. Can can help you live your life without headaches, blurry vision, dry. It's a great, great product. I love Felix Grays. No yellow lens to need it. You don't like look like a big dweeb. They're very nice. You can wear them out too. Like a fashion sense. Don't go another day looking at screens without the help of some Felix Grays. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/lights to protect your, I'm not going to say peepers, to protect your eyes today. That's felixgrayglasses.com/lights. Thank you to Felix Gray. Again, have their products. They're great. Love Felix Grays.
Hey, folks. So we did an interview with NBA player Patrick Patterson of the Oklahoma City Thunder a while back. He's a big movie buff, so we talked movies, Space Jam, much more. With myself, Jeff Lowe, along with Ken Jack and Tyler from Mixtape. The file was actually corrupted, and we were only recently able to recover it, so I spliced it in right here. Hope you enjoy.
All right. Lights, Camera, Barstool, Mixtape, cross-interview, Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Like,
we got Patrick Patterson, Oklahoma City Thunder. What's going on, man? Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You're a huge, huge movie buff, so this is why this works. This is a movie-basketball crossover. Let's just start it out. What made you a movie buff? We always talk about it on our podcast. Like, what's the movie that got you into being a big-time movie guy? What was it for you?
Honestly, it started with my mom introducing me to movies as a kid, just taking me to movies and then having movies on VHS, watching those at the house as a kid growing up. But if I had to pinpoint one movie that pretty much got me started and paved the way, I would have to say it was Set It Off with Jada Pinkett, Vanessa Williams, and Vivica Fox, and Queen Latifah.
I like that.
That pretty much got me started when I was a kid when I watched that.
That's a good pick.
One of the seven movies I have seen. I am less of a movie buff than everyone else here.
You also do a thing I want to mention, Pat Presents, where you go and you see advanced screenings movies with fans, and that's I mean, you've talked about that with plenty of people. That's got to be awesome, right?
Yeah, surely a blessing to be able to do that. Just trying to think of something in order to hang out with the fans, be able to have them see me, you know, outside of the jersey, outside of the arena, outside of the basketball world, and just see me do something and be somewhere that I enjoy being, and that's the movies. So very lucky to be able to have, you know, productions and companies give me a film before it comes out ahead of time and put it on for about 100 to 120 fans.
So as far as, like, road trips, a lot of downtime. Are you a watch a movie on road trip type of guy? Is that where you your time? So, okay.
Yeah, road trips. I'm a type of guy who can't sleep on a plane no matter, you know, how long the flight is, no matter if I'm in a bed on a plane, you know. I can't fall asleep on planes, so I'm watching – 2 to 3 movies, watching TV shows when I get to the city in the hotel room on my laptop or computer, or hopefully if the TV has, you know, DirecTV or any HBO or Cinemax or Showtime networks, then I'm on that.
It's like, I feel like the term plane movie is a thing. Like, people classify certain movies as plane movies. Like, do you have those, like the action movies or ones that, you know, maybe you're not going to go see in a theater, or do you stick to like the good movies for a plane?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, that's true. So there was a movie that came out a while ago with Gabrielle Union. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but
was it Breaking In?
Yeah, I think that
was
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was her and her kids in the house and everything.
Yep.
When that initially came out, I'm like, I'm gonna just wait to see this on a plane. Literally about a week ago, we're on the plane and it's right there, and then I watched it. So. Yeah, there are plane movies that, you know, we definitely watch and say.
Well, how was it? Don't leave us in suspense.
Yeah,
pretty good.
Oh no, it wasn't good.
Oh no.
I love her. She's a tremendous actress and a great person, but the movie wasn't that good.
No, boy, you really hate to hear it. So you watch them solo, like any other teammates big into movies like you, or are you pretty much on your own out there?
Yeah. So. On road trips or on the plane, I watch my own movies. I'm by myself. But sometimes if we're going to like a theater and we watch a movie in the theater on the road, a bunch of us get together. Teammates, I have quite a few that are movie buffs, from Raymond Felton to Steven Adams to Jeremy Grant and even Paul George. You know, those guys absolutely love movies and they're always talking about it in the locker room.
So, that's a big question then. Comedy movies we always talk about. Very subjective. Do you guys ever clash on taste?
Yeah, we do, actually. There's some guys who like, you know, of course, like the stupid, funny comedy movies like Eurotrip or Road Trip. There's some guys who like, you know, the classics like Old School There's some guys who love Will Ferrell, so, you know, they love any movie he's done. You know, my favorite by far is Step Brothers.
Oh, yeah, yep. That That's
there's,
a great
there's each guy who has a different taste when it comes to comedy.
Well, Tyler, getting to the movies he's seen in a second this week, because one of them is a Halloween movie. But overall, favorite, maybe least favorite horror movies? Like what's top and bottom of your list?
Favorite horror movie all time, Wes Craven's original Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm. I love Freddy Krueger, so I'm a big Nightmare on Elm Street geek. Worst, I would say, wow.
The Gabriel Union movie?
Yeah, I'll throw that up there. Also love like the whole new James Wan era with The Conjuring and Annabelle, The Nun. I love that whole movement. I think he's doing a terrific job with that. But it's so hard to say what horror movie's bad because there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of them that don't really make any sense, and the CGI and special effects, and there's no plot, no storyline. So there's a bunch of them out there, so it's a lot easier to say which ones are good.
I'm going to drop one on you here. This is our least favorite movie from last year. Was it our least?
I think it was a tie, right? Rideshare was this year, so that was our least favorite.
It was a tie between this one and another one. I'll have to get Wish Upon was one. But did you see The Bye Bye Man?
I saw The Bye Bye.
It was so bad.
Yeah, that was so bad.
that was our least favorite movie of the year, and talk about one that didn't make sense. But man, we became obsessed with that movie. That had to be a plane movie, right?
Yeah, that was definitely a plane movie.
That was stunk. So
I've seen two movies this week. Can you tell me if they're good or bad? I trust your word. Have you seen Jason in Space? Jason X.
Jason X. Yeah, I've seen that. I wouldn't say it's good, but it's entertaining just because. Of course, Jason's in space. He gets that new high-tech suit, and I feel like the killings are more creative. And they also do, like, a flashback kill with the whole beanbag at Crystal Lake scene. But I wouldn't say it's good, but it's entertaining.
Okay. What about Halloween Resurrection starring Busta Rhymes?
And Tyra Banks.
Yeah. I enjoyed that one. I enjoyed that one when they're in the house and they have the cameras on them. I thought that one was good.
Tyler has never seen a Halloween or Jason movie, and those are the first two we saw this week. So, I mean, just I wow. feel like
I'm practically up to speed. Yeah, it's a movie on the horizon. I know you are on the record as being anti this movie, and Space Jam 2. How did you feel like finally getting the confirmation? Like, it was rumored for a long time, as you wrote about, but we finally got like names, and I think, do we have a date on it? Do we know yet?
I think I forget what the thing said.
I don't think there's a date on it yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I was definitely against it. Still am, of course.
Sure.
It's just movies like that first off weren't supposed to do well whenever it was being made, whenever the idea was created. It wasn't supposed to be as monumental as it became. And then you have, you know, of course, the Looney Tunes who were hot during that time period. And of course, Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, and all those tremendous athletes. And they made that movie what it is. And then it's so iconic, so revolutionary, and it'll never die. And then you want to make a remake of it, and you know that it's not going to live up to what the original one was.
Not at all.
There's going to be so many people that are going to be disappointed by it. Will it do well in theaters? I believe it will, just because of the people that are going to be in it. But I'm like, can you really use the Looney Tunes just because they're not relevant now?
Right.
The Looney Tunes, like, people may know who Bugs Bunny is. Like, some kids may know who it is, but they don't know all the Looney Tunes like we did growing up in, like, the 90s. So I'm like, do you use SpongeBob? And you go under the sea? You have to use some type of relevant cartoon characters. You can't necessarily use the Looney Tunes because people don't, you know, relate to it. It's not their generation anymore. So that's the whole reason why I was against it, and I still am. But I still believe it's going to do well. People are going to go see it, of course, but it's not going to live up to what the first one was.
They're going to end up doing it with, like, Rick and Morty or something. Guaranteed. Yeah. It's going to be LeBron telling about Rick and Morty.
But how about this, though? You're forced to cast it. Is there anyone that you want to see in it? Is there anyone that has to be in this movie? Any of your friends?
I feel like you got to throw DeMarcus in there. DeMarcus Cousins. He's definitely got to be in there.
Okay.
Russ, I say, has to be in there. KD, of course. Maybe Steph. LeBron's definitely going to be in there. But I think you have to have a big man. So I'll throw DeMarcus in there, and you have to have the point guard, it's either going to be between Steph and Russ.
Well, who's Muggsy? Isaiah?
I don't know if that.
Isaiah?
Who's Sean Bradley? Is that?
Yeah, that's true. We need a Sean Bradley.
What if they call you? Would you accept that call? LeBron's like, I want you to be Sean Bradley.
No, I'll definitely win.
Well, so you
maybe Mo Bamba.
Okay, that's a good one.
He is hot. He is hot. Well, the song's hot.
Song
yeah.
is hot. Yeah.
What's your dream? Your dream, I guess, genre, and then maybe someone you want to have direct, or someone you want to have, maybe you direct, but someone you want to cast.
I would love to have, you know, James Wan direct a movie. Mm. Definitely people in the cast. I would love to see, like, he's never done it before, in my opinion, but like either Denzel, Idris, or even Viola Davis do something like close to a horror movie. Definitely
ooh, like
thriller and suspense. But if try to, you know, put them in an element that they haven't done before. So like a thriller close to a horror.
So you're a big James Wan guy. Are you excited for Aquaman?
Yeah, very excited. Very excited. I feel like that it's going to be up there with Wonder Woman. I feel like it's going to help DC get back on the right path.
So if you had to pair an NBA player with an horror icon, we have a small list here for you. We're going to put you on the spot. So if you had to pair an NBA player with a horror icon, what would you pair with Michael Myers?
What would I pair with Michael Myers? Probably LeBron.
LeBron?
Mm. LeBron. I don't know. Michael Myers is pretty slow. He's like okay. flat-footed.
LeBron's an old man. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah.
He'll always catch you.
That's
no matter
true.
How fast you run. He may walk, but at some point he's always going to get you, and his body never breaks down no matter how old he gets. He just keeps pushing forward no matter what happens to him.
That's a good one.
All right, what about Freddy Krueger?
Freddy Krueger, someone who's like a nightmare to guard, probably Kyrie.
Maybe be like a mental shit talker, like someone that gets in your head.
Yeah, he does.
Who's like the best shit talker you played against?
Best shit? Oh, by far was KG when he was in the league.
He's
the only guy ever to talk shit when they're losing by a large deficit and the game's about to be over. He's the only guy to ever do that.
I can respect the consistency, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Jason?
I'd have to throw Embiid, Joel.
Okay.
I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah, that's good.
A great comp. All right, how about Ghostface?
That's a tougher one. Maybe
that is a rough
I like
one.
My guy. I like my guy T. Ross, Terrence Ross, down in Orlando.
All right, yeah, I like that.
He does kind of look like the Scream Mask.
the NBA players read mean tweets and Jimmy Butler saying someone looks like his face looks like an Easter Island head. I think is one
that's
of the
right,
things
right.
I ever read.
That's hilarious.
Pennywise.
Ooh.
Dennis Rodman?
Well, Dennis would be perfect. Yeah. If Dennis was still
Dennis would be a good one. But Hellraiser.
Oh, Pinhead. I got to go with someone like, maybe like Tolliver, Anthony Tolliver.
Ooh.
Oh, okay.
Facially, they look very
good.
Similar.
That's
a deep cut. Yeah.
All right, last one.
Can I go back to a really old tweet of yours that I enjoyed?
Yeah.
You said, I think it was last year, rewatching the original Friday the 13th movies. Forgot how big of a cock block Jason was. And watching these movies this year, he really is.
He really is, isn't he?
Like every time somebody like ducks off into a closet or something, he's right there. They never get to finish. He could at least be, you know, let them finish
exactly.
or start. Yeah.
Yeah, at least let them finish. And then when they separate, then kill them, you know. But as they're in the moment, no, come on.
Can you make sure you do that when you start making movies? Just make sure the killer gives them, you know, enough time yeah. to finish their business and
make sure let them finish at least before I kill them off. Here.
Yeah, that, I feel like that's more than fair. I don't think it's a bad idea.
That's not much to ask.
Yeah,
yeah. Let them climax.
I agree.
I also want to go back to Space Jam. Do you know there are people that don't like Space Jam, like the original Space Jam?
Really?
Oh yes,
there are.
I've never come across an individual who didn't like Space Jam.
Listen. You're a movie guy, so I know you're familiar with Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think the Rotten Tomatoes approval rate for Space Jam is from the critics?
From the critics' standpoint,
mm-hmm.
off the top of my head, I'm going to just go with like 80, 82.
I've got some bad news. 38%.
Below 50?
38%.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, people, adults really don't like Space Jam.
No. How about, wait, I'll do one better here. Our baseball guy here, Jared Carabas, he says Space Jam's a baseball movie. Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard?
Space Jam is not a baseball movie.
Correct. No, that's a bad take by Carabas.
It's not. No.
He's like going to die on that hill, too. He's like Michael Jordan's a baseball player in that movie, primarily. It's like, oh, man.
In a very modest house, yeah.
Very, very modest house.
Very modest house.
Very modest.
Neighborhood with people next to him and no one harassing him.
Yeah. Yeah, we did a commentary with Tyler and his other co-host, Coley, and we noted that in his house, he's got like this little crappy standard definition TV on like a tray table in his living room.
Typical
like,
Mike. Yeah.
That's not Mike.
Oh, and how old were you when you found out that the kids in the movie that play his kids aren't his kids? And were you today years old when you figured that out?
Oh yeah, I was almost a grown man when I found that out.
I
believe for the longest time. Over his kids.
I had another question. I went to Kentucky. I was there with you at the same time, and we had a class together. Do you remember that prank we pulled on the comm professor? I know this is a deep cut. Do you remember?
Oh, no. Uh-uh.
You don't remember that time the whole class beat up the professor? You don't remember that, Patrick? Wow.
Wait, you were in a comm class together?
We were. Back in, I think it was 2009? It was in Memorial Hall.
Yeah,
2009. Yeah. What do you miss most about the campus?
Miss most probably just literally just walking on campus and just talking to everyone. You know, it seems like you meet someone different every day. They know who you are, so they're eager to talk to you. So just being with my teammates, my boys back then, and just walking around on campus and just enjoying that moment.
Have you been back recently, like any time since they've done like renovations?
Yeah, so I actually went back, I want to say this summer. I was back there for 2 days, and I literally see Taco Bell on campus.
Oh yeah,
Steak and Shake on campus. All types of new food restaurants all on campus, and I'm like, man, y'all got it spoiled.
It didn't look like that in our day, did it, Pat?
It did not look like that at all. To go to Taco Bell, you had to drive like 20 minutes away.
Yep.
Now all you got to do is just go right outside your dorm.
I think it's disgusting.
So we got to know, what's your go-to sit down? Your go-to fast food place?
It's a toss-up between Shake Shack and Raising Cane's chicken tenders.
Ooh,
You Raising Cane's over Zaxby's guy?
I was going to say, that's the...
Oh, 100%.
Oh, wow. All right, let's reel that in. So I'll just take a breath. What does Raising Cane's have over Zaxby's?
The sauce is better.
I'll give you that.
The Texas toast is better. And the strips are better. Like, Zaxby's...
Okay, that's where it falls
like
off.
Smaller. Yeah, they're smaller. Like, no. Mm-mm.
They taste better,
I got to go Cane's all day. And that sweet tea, I'll take the sweet tea.
Okay.
Raising Cane's over Zaxby's.
The tea is good. The fries are trash, though.
Yeah, the fries are trash. Okay. The fries are just basic.
Well, you hate all fries, Tyler.
Yeah,
I hate most fries, yeah. But Raising Cane's are bad fries for, like, even really bad fries.
All right.
They're basic.
Yeah, there's just nothing to them.
I need that sauce. Well, we ain't getting that in New York City.
The sauce
right
and
now,
the sweet tea,
sure.
Though. I'll hear that argument.
They opened up a Chick-fil-A here, and like literally like the walls got like torn down on it because so many people were trying to get in.
Did they really? Yeah. I didn't know they opened one up here.
There's like three of them now in the city.
Jesus.
I wish I had Chick-fil-A growing up.
Right. We never had that. We just had Ovid's. That's it.
Yeah, right. Ovid's, yes.
What about that Russ meme? Him eating the food on the side? Has that been going around? Has that been a hot topic?
That has been going around. You know, we've been talking about, are you allowed to eat food? Should you be allowed to eat food on the bench? And I'm like, Joel Embiid's eating a double cheeseburger and a large french fry on the court before the game. So I feel like during the game, it should be all right to have, like, some trail mix, you know, or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
That's like such a thing with NBA Twitter, because NBA Twitter is so big.
The best Twitter, too. It's like part of all sports.
And also the worst Twitter.
I don't know if I can think of it. Have you been put into a, like, have you been a meme at all? Like, there was something you've done?
I want to say I have. Back when I was with Toronto, I want to say maybe like 2-3 years ago, I had these oven mitts on my hands because my hands would get cold during the game.
Sure.
So there's like a picture of me on the bench with these blue oven mitts on my hand saying, I think the meme was like waiting for the cookies.
A nice wholesome meme.
I had like these mitts on my hand and my face was all like sad looking.
Yeah, that's good. You don't want to get memed like Nick Young or Kemba where you're turning around, you missed a shot. I feel like that's what you want to avoid.
Those aren't even team colors. Did you get fined for that?
I was actually able to keep wearing those.
You still wear them? You still rock them?
You wearing them right now?
No, not right now, but yeah, I still rock them.
Oh, this is a great picture, too, because this is you next to Psycho T. Is Psycho T actually Psycho?
Oh, you just pulled it up? Yeah. Psycho T was actually pretty crazy. his name definitely suits him.
Well, thanks, man. We appreciate it. Hey, if you're in New York, whether it's off season or something, please stop by. We'll do a commentary watch with you. We'd have a blast.
Oh, definitely love to.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, thanks, Patrick.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate
it,
y'all.
Thanks again to Patrick Patterson for talking to us. He's actually in the office this week, and we're going to get a chance to do a video, I think, along with Coley for Mixtape, involving something around the NBA players who've acted in movies. We're excited for that. Now back to the rest of the podcast.
All right, movie pitches. This we'll see how this goes. I read them. These could be funny. These could not be. I asked Ken Jack and Trill to not hold back. If the movie pitch stinks, it fucking stinks. You're going to rate these pitches on a scale of 0 to 100 in terms of just, you know, like how we rate movies. I asked for Christmas-based movies. I don't know if I got Christmas-based movies. I think some of them are. Mm-hmm. So here we go. From the user, this is the good name here, George R. Binks. that's a great username.
Already a
George
yes.
R. Binks. Yeah. It's titled Santa Thaws, director Russo Brothers, actor Samuel Jackson as the U.S. Secretary of Defense, and then a CGI'd Bob Hoskins as Santa Claus.
Yes, 1,000 times yes to this.
So you're already at 100 out of 100. The North Pole is slowly melting away due to global warming. Santa becomes an eco-terrorist to get his revenge and save you. That's great. Becomes an eco-terrorist to get his revenge and save his home. The U.S. military defeats the army of elves in a climactic battle over downtown Manhattan, but Santa escapes. In a post-credit scene, we see Santa meeting with a large purple figure, none other than Thanos.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Grimace.
I was expecting Grimace, too.
Okay.
If you sub in Grimace.
If you sub in Grimace, you got a movie, my friend. If you sub in Grimace, I think I like the idea of CGI Bob Hoskins, but I want it to look like poorly done, like 2000s technology CGI.
Like and Rock, Scorpion King?
No, like a little better than that, I'd say. Like more like Final Fantasy, The Spirits Within type of deal. And I don't know enough about the Russo brothers. I think that might be too much firepower, but I think if you take like a director... I don't know. I'm trying to think of the right person. I think you got a film, my friend.
That's great. I'm giving that a full 100 out of 100 if you sub in Grimace. Uh-oh, here we go.
Redemption time.
I'm going to try podcaster with her for a bit so mommy can go shower and stuff. No, she says no. Okay, well, now she's on the mic again. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Now mommy's trying to tickle her to try to get her to do something on the podcast.
Redemption.
She's got stage fright. Look how cute she is, though. Here you go.
Is she just not ticklish? She looks like the E-Trade baby right now.
She's ticklish, but yeah, she actually is the E-Trade baby. We got the DNA, and we just cloned that baby, and we got it. Add it to our collection. Hi, baby. Hi. Hi, you're about to make some noise? All right, this is bad radio. Love you.
Yeah, subbing Grimace, that's 100 out of 100. We'll move on. That's going to be tough to top. That's going to be tough to beat. We have six more. That's going to be tough to beat. We'll see, though. Next one is from Josh Fluckelberg.
Hell yeah.
On Reddit. Title, Away in a Manger, director Michael Bay. Actor Liam Neeson and actress Julianne Moore. Liam Neeson's single daughter gives birth to his first grandson the morning of Christmas Eve. Nurse Julianne Moore is convinced the baby is the second coming of Jesus and swipes the baby from the hospital. After quickly piecing two and two together, Liam tracks down Julianne's house to find it full of various versions of nativity scenes. I'm bored of this. Revealing a midnight... Oh, this is terrible. Oh, she's going to sacrifice the baby. This is terrible. This is a 0 out of 100. He has to save the day before the baby gets sacrificed. That's a 0 out of 100.
I'll give it 30 for the Liam Neeson revenge plot. Okay. Like I think that's established. That's a good base for a movie, but I think the premise might be a little too dark here. Like it might be a little too intense for a Christmas movie. You hear that? Is the baby crying in the background?
Now we can, yeah. She's mad. She missed her opportunity.
She gets off the mic. She starts making noise. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
don't know what to think about this one. It sounds a little too similar to the movie Legion. You remember that one?
Also sounds like every Liam Neeson movie too.
Also that too. But I don't know. I'm passing.
Yep. This is not going to be approved. Next up, title is Factory Christmas from Reddit user WallyBall69.
Hell yeah. 100.
Actors Tom Cruise, Kevin Hart, Mike Myers. Three strangers find themselves alone at the Cheesecake Factory bar on Christmas Eve and strike up a conversation over the excessive portion sizes. It's soon revealed that each man is alone on Christmas Eve because of poor decisions from their past that haunt them to this day. Cruise joined a cult, Hart infidelity, and Mike Myers made the love guru. The film explores each person's story and how the series of unfortunate events brought them to the suburban Orlando Cheesecake Factory on the night. These guys won't do it, but I love the idea.
I love the idea. I give this an 80 because I like the idea of using a Cheesecake Factory the same way SoulCycle was used in I Feel Pretty.
I Feel Pretty, yeah.
Because the Cheesecake Factory, they could have like a magic bartender there who like transports them and has visions, and then at the end he just disappears.
Can the bartender, for unnamed legal reasons, be a guy who would potentially say, "You cockeyed fuck," who is also in Sully?
Hey, you landed a plane. You're that hero guy, huh? You fucking cockeyed motherfucker. I'll fucking come on your wife, you fuck.
You should bleep up that entire part. I just leave it in. I don't care.
We didn't name anybody.
There's no names.
Didn't name one person.
No.
Your wife gave me that good old glorp glorp. You so good. I shot a 50 caliber hole in my wall. Oh.
That's Andrew Dice Clay. We identified the person.
Kanjak, you in on this?
I was out until Troll's explanation, and now I'm all the way back in. I'll give it a similarly, maybe a little bit lower. I'll throw it a 75.
Yeah, I like it. I'm going to go 80. I'm going to go 85. I like it. This is from Pepper Smith 67. I don't think this one's a Christmas movie. Oh, no, it is. It's called titled Kentucky Fried Capitalism. Director Adam McKay, lead actress Amy Adams, lead actor Christian Bale. I guess they just did a movie together after Vice. Supporting actress Reba McEntire, supporting actor Rob Riggle. They both definitely played a Colonel Sanders. As Santa Claus, Christian Bale in another fat suit. And though he's definitely not in a fat suit, right? He's just fat for Vice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's actual weight.
Yeah. Mrs. Claus, played by Amy Adams, are in early preparations for another Christmas. CEO of Yum Brands, Greg Creed, played by Penn Jillette, arrives at the North Pole to announce that he has purchased the entire territory and that Santa Co. will merge with Yum Brand. He plans to take over the holiday and rebrand as Kentucky Fried Christmas with a mob of Colonel Sanders cloned elves to deliver high cholesterol food to all kids. This sounds like a propaganda piece, like Supersize Me. As they are weaseled out of the empire they have created, is up to the Claus family to lawyer up and find the legal loophole to save Christmas. All set to music by Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah, it's a little too on the nose for me.
That's too much.
I mean, yeah, he's trying to make a point, but it's not subtle. Who was the director again? Adam McKay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what to give this one. I give it a 20. I don't like it very much. No offense to whoever made it, because they took time to do it, but I don't like it.
What about the Rage Against the Machine part, Ken Jack? Yes or no on that?
Not a big Radom guy, so I don't know.
I love Radom. I'm a big Radom fan.
I just made up. I don't think that's how it's pronounced, right? Or is
that's, it? It's definitely the acronym. I've never heard it pronounced that way, but now you're saying it. I'm definitely saying Radom.
Radom, like we're doing to these plots. I'm out on it. I'm giving it a 0. It's too long.
By the way, confirmed trailer world premiere for Captain. Never mind. Okay.
That's too big. Let's gamble.
No, it's somebody tweeted a promo. It looks like Captain Marvel trailer will. Yeah, during halftime of Monday Night Football. So they just teased it. Okay. Yeah, so that's cool. And then Avengers later in the week. Next one. All right, so what are we rating this? I'm sorry. I'm giving this, I think, idea in the 90s, execution poor. I think just too much. Just, again, too much. This, This seems like a Morgan Spurlock, problematic, by the way, documentary. I don't like that.
I give it a 20. Give it a 20.
Yeah, I give it a 40. This one by five-time WCW champion on Reddit, titled The Ice Kingdom, director Wes Anderson. So, Ken Jack, in or out already?
It's a bad start, but let's see.
Actors Bill Murray, Jason Schwartzman, and Owen Wilson. Nicholas S. Claus. I like that. That's definitely what they would call Santa Claus in a Wes Anderson movie. Bill Murray.
Be like Benedict Claus or something. Yes. Bumble Snatch Claus.
The legendary eccentric millionaire buys and delivers presents to the kids in the fictional town of Nunavut, Canada, once a year. During his latest delivery, Nicholas meets a runaway boy named Lennon, played by Jason Schwartzman, whose parents passed away a year ago. Nicholas and Lennon put together an elaborate plan to travel across the border to the United States, where they will bring gifts to the Americans for the first time. Along the way, Lennon and Nicholas form a father-son bond. That's boring.
I like it just because Jason Schwartzman is like 44 years old and playing a boy. I'm all in,
actually
wearing those like a little sailor cap.
Yeah.
If it's Wes Anderson, it would be made out of a small paper newspaper, or like a small newspaper hat.
Exactly.
I was thinking that, or he's wearing like the Angus costume from AC/DC, like the schoolboy thing.
Angus Young.
Angus Young. It's like the super short shorts and the hat.
Dude, that's something we need to touch on, because I respect Angus Young more than any living human for committing to that for 40 years.
Yeah. So
just committed to it.
We've never committed to a bit too hard before. That's something LCB has never done, especially not in an episode about the 1990s.
What about Angus T? What's that kid's name? Angus T. Jones?
Two and a Half Men.
Yeah.
That's his name in Two and a Half Men, Angus?
No. What is that? The actor, the real kid's name.
Oh, I thought you meant like the kid in the show. That was like the character's name.
Angus is a tough name. Because Angus is a real badass name if you're the guitarist for AC/DC and you dress like a schoolboy. But if you're not that, it's tough.
Yeah, Angus T. Jones. I forgot that was his name. God, we've talked a lot about Two and a Half Men lately. That's strange.
Men.
Chili's. Baby back ribs. This is kind of just the same beat, right? Or is that on purpose? I don't really know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
know. They ripped it off.
We'll have to consult somebody.
What are we giving that one? What's the rating?
I forget what it's about, but I'm going to give it a 50.
It wasn't inventive enough. I'm going to go like a 40.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go like that. It sounds boring, but that's also Wes Anderson. All description of his movies probably sound boring until you see them. And then they still might be boring, but I like them. That's tough. I give it a 60. Two more. Next up by F. Woots from Reddit. Inceptmas, this is just going to be Inception. Director Christopher Nolan, Christmas spirit is at an all-time low and the world is an unhappy place, but Hobbs and crew have an idea to accept their minds with new technology.
Wait, I was thinking Hobbs.
Yeah, I've seen Hobbs and Shaw too.
Now that'd be, I like that. I like that. It's just, this is just Inception Christmas. I mean.
What? No, you gotta read it. You gotta do the audience a service here.
The technology that has the ability to enter multiple minds at once and using the technology to make everyone believe in Christmas again using Michael Caine's character as Santa Claus.
Zero.
Yeah, I'll give it like a zero as well.
Okay, yeah, it's a zero. That's a dud. Lastly, from a handle named Movie Pitch, so they just obviously made this just for this thing. I don't understand this. If this is an inside joke, please tell me. I looked it up. It just says title. Is there something? Do you know any joke with Bo Burnham and the word Adam?
No, you think it's like an inside joke he's doing?
I don't know. I'm gonna read it. It says title Adam, director Bo Burnham, actor actor Bo Burnham, actress Rachel McAdams. Plot, Bo Burnham's parents are successful scientists and name him Adam instead of the traditional spelling of Adam.
And that's it?
A-T-O-M. That's it. That's all he wrote.
Now I get why you, I feel like I'm missing something too.
Like, I know. I'm gonna
make us feel like idiots. 20.
I'm gonna screenshot this and send it to you because I need you just to see how this is written. I looked at this for like 5 minutes. I'm like, what am I missing here? What is the joke? Bo Burnham's parents are successful scientists and name him Adam, A-T-O-M, instead of Adam, A-D-A-M. I don't
get it. Yeah. Make it start with the Big Bang guy instead. What's his name? Fuck.
Parsons.
Jim Parsons. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like an idiot. Yeah.
Definitely missing something.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 90 though. I like it. It's different. It's intriguing.
I'm going zero again.
I think the best one here without question is the first one.
Oh yeah.
Santa Thaws by George R. Banks.
Yeah, that's
top to bottom. Reddit name and pitch, 100. Perfect. Just need to sub in Grimace.
Not bad. Yeah, I like the Grimace idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
You got any movie ideas, Ken Jack?
How about like an explanation of that song where the kid finds Santa railing his mom?
Oh, just expand on that. I'm surprised that doesn't exist anymore.
It should. What was it? I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah.
On the penis.
Or like, what about like grandma got run over by a reindeer with like Jeff Foxworthy and the rednecks of comedy?
That's an actual movie though, I'm pretty sure.
Doesn't it have Larry the Cable Guy in it or something?
Oh,
We've talked about that Larry the Cable Guy is in Jingle All the Way too, right? And it has absolutely nothing to do with the first Jingle All the Way. They just bought the rights to the name and they just released a movie with it.
Yes.
Good for them.
Get that bag, Larry.
Dude, Larry does not need the bag.
I got an idea. So one night Santa is making the rounds and Santa crashes his sleigh into the ground and then somebody finds it, right? So it's basically a sequel to Santa Claus and they have to take over as Santa, but that person who finds it is none other than Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Jesus fuck.
Hell of a pitch.
How about the one gift that Santa constantly gives every year is sperm to the sperm bank, and it turns into a combination of Fred Claus and the delivery man, where he hunts down all of his millions of children.
What about a movie where Santa gets catfished?
Is that it?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to tie in all these newfangled tropes.
Like, Neve find if he's being catfished? Like, the actual crew goes, or...
A movie where Santa walks into a room and it's really awkward and there's a table there like with food on it and there's one of those like metal French plates and then they lift up the metal French plate and underneath is Katy Perry.
Oh, God.
and then Santa's just not surprised at all.
He's like, oh, damn, that's crazy.
That's one of my favorite videos of all time.
Those are those awkward videos I think I've watched.
Oh, my God, it's so awkward.
It's so uncomfortable.
Oh, man. Did you ever watch Catfish? Did you watch that show?
Oh, yeah. First season, I think I watched every episode, but nothing after that.
I watched it. Like, I think I watched a few episodes.
The picture of Neve in the elevator where he unironically said, like, I keep this elevator abuse free is, I think, the funniest thing I've ever seen. The most unironic self-own I've ever seen.
Yeah. Is that it?
I want to think of more.
I think that's
not right
it.
Now, but I want to think of some eventually.
I think that's it, though. Anything else? Anything we want to close with?
What about one where Santa drops from the battle bus?
Just Fortnite. Cheryl, you have any
360 no scope?
Any hot corner comments today?
Oh man, no, What do you guys think about the college football playoff? You guys big Notre Dame fans?
I'll tell you, here's a hot take. Sick of seeing the same fucking teams every year in the playoff.
Yeah, as a casual college football fan, I'd have to agree. And I don't hate Alabama. Like it's the same thing with like the Patriots. I'm a Colts fan. People think I hate the Patriots. I don't hate the Patriots. Patriots make me sad. But I'm just tired of seeing Alabama win. I know we've mixed it up a little bit, but I'd like to see something other than that. And it's tough when they're the best team year after year and keep reloading. So roll Tide.
I want to see OU win. I think OU's the most fun team out of those four to watch, but I don't know.
I wanted to see Georgia get in.
I don't watch enough college football, but those two games I have watched this year have been very fun.
Have watched two fun games. That's very true.
I want Purdue to win. Are they in the playoffs?
They barely missed it.
Oh, shit. I thought they beat USU. They were unranked, right?
They're in the Music City Bowl, though.
Oh, is that good?
Music City Bowl is a fun bowl. It's in Nashville, which is a fun place to party. And usually it's pretty fun atmosphere. Kentucky used to be in the Music City Bowl almost like every year. And so,
yeah,
Kentucky fans travel pretty well, but that's only like 3 hours away from where they live. So like it was just a big Kentucky party in Nashville.
Who are they playing?
I don't remember. Purdue. Who's Purdue playing? Oh, I don't know.
It's going to be Mississippi State or Auburn. Apparently
Auburn. Jesus. Isn't Auburn not good anymore? Is that a thing?
They're just not great this year.
Oh, okay.
Mississippi State was kind of good for a while and toppled off.
Well, roll Boilermakers. What was the phrase again?
Boiler up.
Boiler up.
Hammer down.
Hammer down, boiler up.
Wait, is that part of the thing or no?
No, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing at Purdue these days.
Trill, you excited to watch Robin Hood?
Not at all. I think Robin Hood kind of sucks as a story.
Can I highlight one part of it that absolutely rules? It's when they're in the middle of the Crusades and they call in an airstrike. Not even joking with you. Like they're in
Oh,
really?
Yeah, no, it's a very serious.
Is it like an eagle that just drops bombs or something?
Yep. They say call like the stone throwers and they shoot like a flare in the air and they like shoot at my position. I'm taking fire. Like literally they call in an air. It's fucking incredible.
I just don't like Robin Hood. I've never really liked Robin Hood. The only Robin Hood thing I've really liked is Men in Tights.
That's because it's making fun.
It's just strange. Yeah. It's a strange movie, and we'll get into it. But Ken Jack, we talked about it in our review. The fucking just the way it's not really set in any time period. Just your Tech Fleece comment, while it was a joke at first, yeah, I mean, it was a joke at first, but it's kind of spot on. I mean, it legitimately could be a Tech Fleece because they don't really tell you what time period it's set in. It's fucking weird. Very weird.
He take my money.
He just sings. Yeah, anything else?
No, I don't really have much to
The fight last night, Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder, not very good. I'll say it. I don't watch a lot of boxing, but watching heavyweights fight when they're just like out of shape dudes is just not very fun.
I didn't watch that. I'm not a fight guy. I don't watch fights.
I only saw the closing four rounds of it or something. It was just not very entertaining.
I have a lot of respect for the conditioning and the training of those who do fight, but I find it to be very uninteresting because I don't get what they're doing.
They're fighting. You just said it.
Well, I know, but there's a lot of like technical stuff that's going on that I think people who know a lot about fighting can appreciate. It's like that's their thing. They're really nerd out about, but it's not mine. So
that guy fights southpaw, and you're like, damn, that's so cool.
I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like I don't hate it. I just don't like it, but I still appreciate it. It's like ice skating, like figure skating, like what they do out there on the ice is amazing. Requires a high degree of athleticism. But to me, I just don't get it. We should pull the plug on this episode now.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we had nothing else. I think we're done. We'll have a new episode this Thursday. We're going to be reviewing Robin Hood and Widows, maybe a fun segment, not sure what. We got to think of a Christmas rankings to do this year. We'll figure it out. Could be characters, not quite sure yet, but we'll do one in the coming weeks. For Ken Jack and Trill, I'm Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Have a good week at the box office seeing Robin Hood.
this Christmas, I guess.